I better myself. Representative O'Driscoll.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And this is not uncommon just for the committee's benefit. In long-term care coverage, when you apply for that, you have the same option of having another party notified so that as a person ages and may have other things that they're dealing with and forget about bills or set them aside or whatever the case may be, that someone else is notified. They're not obligated to pay the obligation, but they are being notified so that they can be a friendly person to intervene, to talk to the person who designated that individual to be able to receive that notice from the third party, be it the long-term care company, and if this becomes law, from the reverse annuity mortgage or reverse mortgage company. So not uncommon in other areas. I think it's good program. A little bummed out that we don't have people from AARP and others here today speaking in favor of this, because we do see those folks from time to time when they have some concerns about bills. But this, I think, is good consumer protection, and it's not mandatory. It is voluntary. So, members, I would encourage you to support this bill.
Thank you, Representative O'Driscoll. Further discussion? Seeing no further discussion, any final word, Representative Katiza-Watoon? Good bill, vote for it, she says. With that, Representative Katiza-Watoon renews her motion that House File 3627 be re-referred to the Judiciary, Finance, and Civil Law Division as amended. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, no. The motion prevails, and you're on your way. Thank you very much. No. Okay, good. Okay, next up on the committee, Representative Hewitt has a pair of bills, and we can start with his 3126. Welcome to the committee. Get settled.
Oh, I was thinking. I'm not doing anything.
Welcome to the committee, Representative Hewitt. I will move your House File 3126 be re-referred to the general register. And Representative Hewitt, I see that you have an author's amendment as well.
Yes, I do, Madam Chair.
To get the bill in the shape that you would like, I can move the A20-0606 amendment. The author's amendment to get the bill in the shape the author would like. Is there any discussion to that motion? Seeing no discussion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed,
aye.
No.
Aye.
He's so excited. Wow.
Thank you very much. Representative, the bill is in front of us in the condition that you would like it. You may proceed.
Madam Chair and members, under this section 297E, Subdivision 4, an organization licensed under Chapter 349 may be required to have an annual audit performed by an independent accountant or submit the report to the Commissioner of Revenue. All organizations with gross receipts of more than $750,000 from lawful gambling must undergo such audit. The Commissioner of Revenue may require organizations that do not meet the financial threshold to undergo an audit based on several failures by the organization to comply with requirements. This bill would require the organizations to provide a copy of any audit to the Gambling Control Board.
Thank you, Representative Hewitt, and I see you have somebody here to testify with you.
I do, Madam Chair.
Excellent. Well, welcome to the committee, and you can introduce yourself for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Matt Getman, the Executive Director for the Gambling Control Board. The opportunity to present this bill, thank you, Representative Hewitt, to sponsor this, came from meeting with the different stakeholders. So the Minnesota Society of CPAs had suggested that with revenue no longer doing the same number of audits on gambling organizations than the Gambling Control Board is doing, that we also should receive a copy of the annual audit that's done on behalf of the Commissioner of Revenue. And the thought was, therefore, to create this requirement that the organizations also allow the authorization for the CPAs to send us an electronic copy. So no additional expenses to anybody would allow us, with our limited resources, the ability to have additional flags to ensure the integrity of the gaming throughout the state. And so the flags that would exist would be in the form of the annual audit, specifically the internal control section and other sections of that audit, and it would allow us the opportunity to immediately hone in on where there may be issues with the gambling organizations that are licensed in the state.
Great. And welcome to the committee. Is this your first time presenting in front of the committee?
It is. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Well, it's nice to see you. Is there anybody from the audience who wishes to testify for or against this bill? Seeing no one, we can move to member discussion. Members, questions? Representative Kreisha.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and to the bill author and the test first. So this only affects those organizations with revenues of $750,000 and higher?
Madam Chair.
Representative Hewitt.
That is right.
Okay. And thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative Kreisha.
To the bill author and testifier. So for those organizations that have lower thresholds and this audit, these audits can be quite burdensome, are we changing anything of that? Is there anything down the road?
Representative Hewitt or Mr. Gettman?
Madam Chair, Representative, there would be no change to that. So no organization under the requirement for the $750,000 or whatever that may change to would be required to file an audit, only those above that amount. So if they're already filing it to the revenue commissioner, then they would also send a copy, or it would be authorized to have a copy sent to us.
Representative Kreisha, any follow-up? Additional discussion, members? Seeing no additional discussion, Representative Hewitt, you get the last word.
Madam Chair and members, it's a good bill. Please vote yes.
Great wrap-up. With that, I will renew my motion that House File 3126 be re-referred to the, as amended, be re-referred to the General Register. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The motion prevails, and you're on your way. Thank you. Next up, Representative Hewitt. We're going to keep you here for House File 3341. And I will move that House File 3341 be re-referred to the General Register. You do have an author's amendment as well in your packet, members. There should be an A3 amendment. And so I will move the A3 amendment to get the bill in the shape the author desires. Is there any discussion to that motion? Seeing no discussion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The motion prevails. Representative Hewitt, the bill is in front of us as amended. You may proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. House File 3341 is a simple federal conformity bill regarding appraisal management companies. Appraisal management companies are licensed third-party entities that protect home buyers, ensuring that the appraisal they receive are in compliance with state and federal law. The bill conforms Minnesota law with federal guidance that requires all AMCs to be registered in a federal database. In summary, the bill grants the Department of Commerce the needed authority to collect these fees from a licensed AMC and remit them to the National Registry. The language was crafted and with input from the Department of Commerce and needed and supported stakeholders.
Excellent. Thank you very much. I see there's a couple people have signed up to testify. Mark Schiffman from Riva. Somebody from Riva?
Okay. They're willing to if you have questions, Madam Chair.
Okay.
So it's they're just switching chairs right now. You can sit down.
Are there questions? Because he's just taking
questions. Mr. Chair, yeah, he was here just for questions if they came up.
Do any members have questions for the author for the testifier? Representative Driscoll.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Davids would want me to ask this question in his absence of the bill author. Does this bill in any way add to increase the amount of continuing education that would be required by persons covered under this bill?
Representative Hewitt.
Mr. Chair, Representative Driscoll, thank you for that question. I love those things too, so no.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Driscoll.
I will pass the word on to Representative Davids. I'm sure he will be very delighted to learn this news.
Any other questions for this witness or the author? I think we do have one other testifier, but I see that there is Mr. Cherner from Clear Capitals signed up to testify.
Again, Mr. Chair.
Also for questions?
Yeah, I do believe that they're here to support the bill, and if there are questions that came up.
All right. Seeing no other questions, are there any members of the public who wish to testify as to House File 3341? Seeing none, we can move to member discussion. Any members wishing to speak as to the bill? Seeing none, I will renew Chair Halverson's motion to re-refer House File 3341 to the General Register as amended. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say nay. Motion carries.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee.
Thank you, Representative Hewitt. And then the last item on our agenda today is Representative Dean's bill, House File 3397. This is old, right? That's you wouldn't have let me hear it. But I will tell you.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Representative Dean, you want to move your bill?
I will move House File 3397 be re-referred to
the Judiciary, I think?
Judiciary, I believe, yes. And there's also an A1 amendment that I'd like to move as well.
All right. Representative Dean moves the A1 author's amendment, which I take it gets the bill in the shape you'd like the committee to consider it. Any discussion to the amendment? Questions? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed nay. Motion carries. And Representative Dean, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. I thought that Mr. Elwood was going to be here to assist me should I need it. So you're going to see something you probably don't want to see.
You're operating without a net.
I am. I call me a Walenda. I don't know. If you'd like to come, it's just in case. In essence, what House File 3397 does is it closes some loopholes around equity stripping. We've passed several laws recently around mortgage foreclosure and other types of things to protect the homeowners. And there's sort of a little spot in which home rescuers can come in and you know, work with an individual who may be behind in either their payments or in behind of their taxes. And oftentimes some of these homeowners end up signing documents that ultimately they end up losing their home as a result of it. So what this is doing is just tidying up some language so that the issue of those equity stripping things are not as likely to happen. The amendment just adds some clarification around some common interest community associations to make sure that it would also apply to them as well. So with that, this is a bill that has some bipartisan support, and I believe we're having some movement in the other body as well.
Thank you, Representative Dean. Ms. McCormack, do you have anything that you'd like to say about the bill?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. Again, I'm a legal services attorney at Mid-Minnesota Legal Aid, and I'm in the homeownership unit of the Consumer Protection Unit. I'd just like to thank the following stakeholders that have also offered technical amendments that are incorporated into the current version, including the Minnesota Bankers Association, the Minnesota Credit Union Network, the Independent Community Bankers of Minnesota, the Minnesota State Bar Association's Real Property Section, the Minnesota Title Association, Minnesota Realtors, and the Minnesota Association of Counties, and the Community Association Institute. And I want to thank Representative Dean for bringing forward House File 3397. This bill will have a direct impact on our clients and protect them from equity stripping scammers. As Representative Dean said, this bill proposes necessary clarifications to existing law. In 2007, the legislature expanded the definition of, quote, residence in foreclosure to protect homeowners from equity stripping scams involving things like property tax forfeiture and contracts for deed situations that involve delinquencies and defaults, but that did not involve mortgages. In 2007, this law was meant to protect homeowners in vulnerable situations like tax forfeiture and the proposed changes makes sure it unequivocally does just that by bringing other definitions in the statute in line with the legislative intent. In the wake of the foreclosure crisis, scammers have found new avenues in which to steal homeowners' equity, and our office has seen too many cases of attempted equity stripping and tax forfeiture situations. I want to thank Hennepin County for their help thwarting these schemes. Please support file number 3397. I'm here to answer any of your questions. Thank you.
Do members of the committee have any questions for the author or the testifier? Seeing none, are there any members of the public who wish to testify as to the bill? Seeing none, any discussion as to the bill? Seeing none, Representative Dean, I'll give you the last
I'll
word.
I'll be as brief as Representative Hewitt. It's a good bill. Please vote yes.
Representative Dean renews his motion to re-refer House File 3397 to the Judiciary Finance and Civil Law Division. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed say nay. Motion carries. And you're all set.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. And that concludes our business for today. So I will adjourn the committee. Our next meeting is next Tuesday.